Noon straight up on this Tuesday with Gresh and Fourier. We'll do the show from Fenway Park tomorrow in advance of Boston Red Sox baseball. They are OTAing today down in Foxborough. Gerard Mayo and some of the other coaches have assembled to disseminate their various whatnot to the questions from the media. And one of those folks is our buddy Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston, longtime Patriots insider. Tommy, good afternoon.
What's up, Gresh? How are you, my friend?
We're okay. Hearing all the good stuff about Drake May, footwork coming along, all that stuff. Anything that you have heard in the last, 45 minutes or so that has piqued your interest here on this Tuesday?
Yes. The fact that, you know, I did, and Karen Garigian also asked, what's the timetable? When will Drake May start? And he said Alex Van Pelt said Jacoby Brissett's the starter until further notice. He's playing well. We're going to constantly evaluate Drake May. I asked about whether this is an educational portion of the season or whether it's an evaluative portion of the season, because Bill Belichick always called this kind of an educational portion of the season. Van Pelt said it's evaluative. They're evaluating every day, every practice. They're making decisions based on what they're seeing. So once Drake May establishes himself as a better quarterback and deserving second backup reps, those will come, and the same will hold true for becoming the starter.
You know what, Tom, and hi to you too. Good to see you. Good to hear your voice.
Hi.
I didn't get a hello from you. I felt left out.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
there
I know.
We go.
Very sensitive. Very sensitive.
Now the whole show is going to be.
Yeah. No, it's about Tom.
Do I need to yell about
here? I had traffic.
I was going to say, and do I need to ask Tom a Kyrie question to bring this back around? Will that help? No. Okay.
I think it's interesting what you said, and just from a player's perspective, thinking about Jacoby Brissett, it's got to be an awkward situation. On one hand, they're paying him for the awkwardness, right, and the uncomfortable conversation. I'm going to pay you $8 million, and when the question is asked, it's his job until we give it to Drake. I wonder if you've talked to him about it, if anyone has mentioned it to him, and what his response was about the situation that he's in.
To Jacoby?
Yeah.
Yeah, last week when we spoke to him, I thought he was really good on it. And what's interesting about watching it, Christian, and you'd come down here and will soon come down here, I'm sure, whether it be minicamp or training camp.
Absolutely. Yep, we'll be there for minicamp.
He's got nothing to sweat at the moment. I mean, the gap is significant, not because Drake May stinks, but because Jacoby Brissett is in this offense at this stage in just T-shirts and shorts. He more than fully looks the part. Now, might it look different when he's during training camp and there are actually live bullets flying and he is having to process things and he's not getting the protection that he needs? Maybe. But right now, the gap is so significant that it's an inevitable question. He is being paid to answer it, but he's also saying, well, that's not happening anytime soon. And I think that's really clear. And I believe the team as a whole believes the same thing, Christian. You know, whether it's Alex Van Pelt or Elliot Wolf or Mayo to an extent, or even McAdoo, they're looking at the office and saying, we're fine. We get Jacoby. We can take as long as we want with Drake May.
Tommy, I do wonder about Drake May getting into the lineup eventually. And I'm a hard, you can't even consider it until week 8, that kind of deal, because there's so much to be worked out amongst the coaching staff. But how do the people around Jacoby Brissett, do they need to be playing well, do you think? They have to be playing well for the coaches to have confidence to put Drake May in there? Like, I'm curious from your end right now, and I know we're only in the summer, how much the people around the quarterback might dictate when Drake May gets into the lineup, because you don't want to go, you know, David Carr on this young guy.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you know, you don't want Jacoby to be cannon fodder. You hope that he is the quarterback for a team that, you know, might be 4-4 after 8 games, still not having to give up on the season. And if the team is, say, for instance, 1-7, do you look at it and say, well, it's a jailbreak every time we snap the football and nobody's getting open and we've got injuries and we put Drake out there right now, it's not going to make it any better. So then Jacoby would become, one would think, cannon fodder, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think the interesting thing is if everyone's playing around Jacoby at a pretty capable level and they have a good defense and Jacoby's playing well too, the team's probably not that bad. So my feeling is it's probably not going to be any earlier than week 8. And if they do nose around 500, it's probably not going to be until December. That's my feeling.
You know, I think it's just human nature. There's just going to be so much attention on the offense, the young players, all those weapons, weaponization of the offense. I asked this to Gresh yesterday, Tom, and I'm curious to hear your answer. You know, when Elliot Wolf talked about, you know, before the draft, we got to weaponize the offense. I'm wondering if you think he weaponized the wrong position, meaning wide receivers and you know, and skill position players, as opposed to offensive line, which seems like the biggest area of need.
Yeah, that was my contention throughout the draft process. You're holding the number 3 pick. You need protection first so that you don't see a repeat of what we saw last year where you can't even tell. The development of Mac Jones would – they might not have had to take a quarterback if they could have protected for the first 5 weeks. But no Onwenu, no Strange, and Trent Brown playing at a less than level, and, of course, no right tackle. It just absolutely put – it made him unusable by the end of it. So I believe that offensive line should have been more prioritized. It certainly should have been more prioritized in 2022. Right. Yeah. Don't know. 23. Yep. Last offseason. Should have gotten the right tackle. But every good team has a wide receiver who is a top tier guy. Now, the Patriots did it differently for 20 years so that we got to the point where we said, okay, you don't need a top off the defense kind of wideout. But I think those days are gone because the Patriots had a supercomputer at quarterback and they're not going to have that now. So I don't think that they are, I don't think that they weaponize necessarily at wide receiver either. They got a second-round pick, and they got a fourth-round pick. So they didn't do a lot at wide receiver in this offseason, despite proclamations to make this a weaponized group. K.J. Osborne should be fine, but there's still nobody who's going to make you gasp. And I don't think Calvin Ridley would have made me gasp either.
I totally agree on that. And it's funny because the Calvin Ridley sort of situation and contract has come up, Tommy, because we got another high-end guy this time in Justin Jefferson who is cresting $30 million a year on a long-term contract. And I'm wondering if on the high-end market, Tommy, it's getting to the point to where we'll pay those guys, but we're not going to pay the Calvin Ridleys of the world $25 million or something like that. Do you think the market at wide receiver is shaking itself out to where the Patriots can find their landing spot? Or are they just going to have to hold their nose and pay somebody way too much money just to be able to get someone that they think is a number one receiver?
No, they definitely can spend that money on a wide receiver now. Now, in 4 years, if Drake Mays turned into a decent player, they can't. That's the interesting aspect of this. You know, what are the Dolphins going to do with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle? And Tua's number is going to come up, and they're going to look at him and go, well, we're looking at probably the 8th to 12th best quarterback in the league in Tua, and God knows what he'd be if he didn't have these wide receivers. Can we just get somebody else to do what he does? Because we don't have two guys to do what they do. The Patriots right now, they have Drake May on a rookie contract, as do the Vikings with J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold, who's a cast-off. So the Vikings can spend their money on that, but you're going to have to pick which position you want to invest in, whether it's wide receiver, whether it's quarterback, and then you can tack on left tackle. Can you spend on all those positions? Because as much as Michael Felger wants to say cap is crap, it is not. There is a point at which the rubber meets the road. You can juggle, you can, you know, move it, you can slide it around, you can do whatever you like, but eventually you're going to have to make decisions on your roster as to who you're going to keep. So that's why it's not crap. It's legitimate.
Yeah, and you can run away from the dollars as much as you want, but eventually they're going to catch up to you, and you're going to have to pay it off.
Ask New Orleans.
Yeah, you're going to have to. And you can tell the teams that do it that way because you know it's like an all-in situation. The other thing that I thought was interesting as far as, like, personalities, the two wide receivers, Polk and Baker.
Baker, yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen two young receivers with so much, things to say. Like, you know, guys that are just so vocal and maybe confident is the word. And I guess it's just the way the program is being run. Or maybe it's just they just have a different personality than we're used to seeing. I'm curious your opinion on that.
My opinion is I kind of like the way Bill did it. Just, you know, the Ellis Hobbs. My favorite was Ellis Hobbs after a preseason game where, I mean, he's a third-round pick. He was a good player, fast, and he gambled in a preseason game against the New Orleans Saints. And we were in his locker room. He said, you know, I'm a playmaker. I'd do that again. And I can't remember whether it was a press conference or on the side or it was related to me. But Bill basically said to him, kind of a moron would give up a touchdown and then stand in front of his locker and say, I'd do that again. And I think there was another rookie who said, wide receiver, who said about a cornerback, yeah, he's one of the best in the league. He goes, Christian, I'm sure you've heard this. How the bleep would you know? You don't know who's good. You don't know who isn't good. Just shut the F up.
And that's why I think like it's like this first year is gonna just gonna be a roller coaster. It's gonna be like, you know, how much a lot of the young guys, new guys speak, how comfortable they feel giving their own personal opinion. Like, are the rules still like, hey, speak for yourself? You know,
I think Mayo's commentary on Baker when I asked about his social media post was great. It's not that far different from Bill, but he basically said, you either back it up or you lose the respect of the locker room. Once you put it out there, you have to walk it like you talk it, or you're not going to be respected. I mean, that's pretty blunt.
Yeah.
So I think that you're at least going to have, let the boys do what they want to do. It's okay. Have fun, fellas. It's, you know, we're not going to stifle you. I think with Mayo, it'll be, say what you want. Just don't stand there and say how good you are and have me watch you play like ass.
How about the Bill Belichick Living My Best Life tour? Getting awards in Croatia, can be a citizen if he wants to. Did you think this is the way it was going to play out when he didn't get a job? Like, he would just take this world tour, just, I guess, keep himself busy?
Yes, I did. I talked about it in December when we were spitballing as to what might happen if Belichick didn't come back. And I said at that point, I said, Bill should take a year off, take a TV job, rehabilitate what is perceived to be a prickly personality by showing how actually fun he can be, insightful he can be, warm he can be, and bounce his grandkids on his knees. And I had people that day, it was a Sunday, I said it, people were like, you out of your mind? Are you crazy? You're saying that he should actually take a year off? Everybody's going to be lining up to hire him. Well, no, they weren't. This is the best thing for him.
Hey, what are the odds of him liking this life so much that he doesn't want to come back and coach?
Oh, boy. Opportunity, I think. Chris Gasper just actually texted me, and I was reading his text. His text was that Brandon Merriweather was the one who said that about Wes Welker being one of the best in the league.
Oh, there we go. That all
makes
fits.
More sense.
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't he an All-Pro multiple times? Didn't he go to the Pro Bowl? Is that Brandon Merriweather?
Yeah, that was just an opportunity. I think it was just an opportunity for Bill to say, yeah. I don't care if he's in the Hall of Fame already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
I love that aspect of it, though. I love, like, the rookies need to be checked. It's rare that a rookie is respected, like, right off the jump.
Come on. All I've heard is that Bill was mean to the Youngs and made them wear numbers that they all these troglodyte ways.
I thought that was stupid, too. I thought that was dumb.
And now we're, yeah, go ahead. Why do you gotta check you.
Why you got to, like, change my number? Look at a hardo, like, you know, just bullying move. I thought that was stupid. Give me a number, dude. I've earned it. You drafted me. I'm sidebarring this. It's my own personal problem.
No, it's not. Well, you're drafted, but
give me a number.
But you still got to make the team. Not everybody drafted makes the team. Tom Curran knows that.
Here.
There you go. Tommy, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tom.
See you guys.